The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's just interesting because I think if you understand any of this, it changes your opinion of things. I mean, you know, military service should be a different deal. Everyone should be a part of the militia, 18 to 50, according to folks like George Washington. But you know what? That was a state. It was the state militias. And it's a different animal. Not, you know, organized and federalized and nationalized and, you know, so on and so on. You start to see history differently when you realize that Wernher von Braun, the darling of Disney, was, you know, a Nazi war criminal, or that Larry Thorne was, you know, the Nazi SS officer who became a U.S. Green Beret, and stories like that, you know. It changes your view of things, and you start to see, you know, that there really is, you know, like Wesley Clark's intimation 10 years ago about his conversations in the Pentagon back in the 90s, and, you know, the Greater Israel Project, the Wolfowitz doctrine. And that plan has been going on for over 100 years. You start to get a different sense of those things, and you won't be conscripted to that kind of nonsense as easily, which gets back to my, you know, sardonic, you know, my reference to Mencken's sardonic wit is what I mean to say. Anyway, I'll include a few of these kinds of stories in today's archive if you're interested. Some of the ones that, I don't know, you might want to just glance at if the subject matter is interesting. The Thule or the Thule Gesellschaft and Vril obviously needs to get mentioned too in this conversation. The Vril nonsense. The movie Hidden Figures and Hidden Agendas, Nazis, Vril, and Pizzagate. That's an interesting one. Motherboard, Vice Motherboard had an article back in 2015, the occult rocket scientist who conjured spirits with L. Ron Hubbard. Cybernetics by Rotten, no, Dianetics. Anyway, but seriously, it's right out in the open, and it should change the way we view things and stuff, you know, our view of the world and things. Paul McGuire had some interesting articles over at News with Views on this kind of stuff. Luciferian Elite, Multidimensional Weapons, Hyperborea, America, and the End of Days. These were back in 2013. That's one. The other, The Babylonian Stargate and the New Atlantis, America, which is interesting, you know, Manly P. Hall writing and stuff like that. Anyway, those are a few of the things. I'll just throw some links in the archives today. Back to the phones we go. Larry in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
You bet. I have one question specifically to ask you about your own personal interpretation. I've read the King James a few times, And everything I didn't understand, I took out one of the lexicons and concordances and looked out what it meant in Greek or Aramaic. Does not the New Testament say, I have to paraphrase it, that not one iota of this will be changed?
Well, you looked it up, so...
Well, this system we have, this time space, is already by the end of that book says this is going to happen, and there is not one iota of this book that is going to be altered by mankind. And I keep wondering, and have for, you know, you're talking about old books. I have a book upstairs that I always read, by Conquest or Consent, that was written right before Kennedy must have been shot, that lays out this whole thing. And then I've read Nestor Webster's World Conspiracy, I think it was called, where she, Secret Societies or something to that.
And Subversive Movements. The other one was World Revolution, actually.
That's the one, World Revolution. And she basically, in 21, laid this out. If you go farther back into 18, whenever the French Revolution happened,
John Robeson?
Same group. Excuse me?
Sorry, I said John Robeson, but anyway.
Okay, yes. It's in 1780, he gave a book to Washington, Proof of a Conspiracy, John Robeson. Right? Is that what you were referring
to? Okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, this, through what I can discern, is leading to a point where they call, you know, SH the fan.
Yeah.
And there's, from what, if I believe in the book, and I try my damnedest to believe, that you will get to that point down there at the end of the railroad track, and there ain't nothing you're going to do to knock that train down that track. And if that is the essence, why is it? Because I've been in the federal court suing the Federal Reserve for $1 trillion in gold and silver back in the 80s. So I've been at this little game for a while. Why is it we spend so much time and effort to derail the train?
I wouldn't say that I'm trying to derail anything per se. I would say that I'm trying to raise awareness and, you know, I think just to try to... you know, the wool has been pulled over people's eyes. And one of the things that I refer to quite often lately is, you know, Clark's third law, and that any sufficiently advanced technology, he said, is indistinguishable from magic. Interesting that he was, you know, instrumental in so much of what, you know, pop culture has embraced over the last half century or more. But, if people know certain things, then it's not a magic trick anymore. And it seems like magic, you know, when you sit in a group and you hear someone say something that you disagree with, and then someone on the audience is right, says I agree, and someone on the left says I agree, and someone in the back says I agree, and then you feel like, well, maybe maybe I'm out of line. Maybe I agree too. Wow, that's a magic trick. No, it's just the Delphi technique at work.
We all understand the Delphi.
Yeah.
Okay, we all understand the Delphi. But I totally agree with you. I really enjoy listening to you. But to me, I sometimes think, my God, I've wasted so many years of my life chasing the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just found something my dad gave me back in the mid-50s. It says, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be if you won or lost. It's how you played the game. And to me, I understand what the end of this thing says. But he's saying to me, you got a war going on in front of your face, and you got to fight it.
Okay. And so I guess I don't understand the connection. If there's a war in front of your face and you got to fight it, then
I mean,
how does that?
You're not put on this earth for your own gratification. To me, it's like in the founding documents for prosperity. Okay? And we keep walking down the railroad track, and the way it's going, it's give, take. And that wasn't what you were put on this earth for. It's to help your fellow man. But the way we're going, if you look at the Me Too generation or the whatever, you see this socialistic camp moving, Marxist or whatever, I don't even want to call it, let's call it Zionist camp, moving down to the end of the railroad track. And if they control what basically I've been able to discern about all the media, the Hollywood, the banks, whatever, and then you get into what Christ talked about, you are of your father, and he was a liar from the foundation.
John 8.
Pardon me?
John chapter 8.
Okay. But it's just to me, I see sometimes I've wasted damn near 50 years of my life trying to beat down the windmill. What is your belief? I mean, you must have a Christian outlook.
You're mentioning the good book, as it's referred to. So I'll start there, and I'll try to kind of touch on a few of the things that you said and see if I can, I don't know, add whatever I can or I don't know, just speak to it. What you're saying, what you're asking. I don't think it's a waste of time. And, you know, first and foremost, I would say that however you want to say it, you know, there's the, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, after the love stuff, you know, many hands or many members, one body kind of sentiment. Eyes don't do what ears do. Hands don't do what feet do. So you have eyes, ears, hands, feet. They all perform a different function. And sometimes, because we're so inculcated in herd think, we are led to believe, even in so-called churches, that we're all supposed to be doing the same thing. And it's interesting that if God wants to speak to us individually, he's probably not going to, you know, be sending a message through CBS News, if you know what I mean. Anyway, it's that individual relationship, and we should all be in prayer and whatever, those who, you know, whose beliefs are in accordance with that. So I would call it, you know, a Christian liberty or whatever you want to call it, that we, you know, you may do one thing and others may say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Or you may do a thing for a season and then maybe that changes. So I think that's an important thing to understand. I usually, you know, a corollary to that, I think, is the point I've made recently about who decides, made in the past, but, you know, what's the difference between communism and Acts chapter 2? The difference is who decides. So man decides in communism, and the Holy Spirit decided in Acts chapter 2, and that's the distinction. So some of the other things along those lines, you know, to try to prevent something or, you know, do something or whatever, that's one thing, and that's a perhaps a different discussion. But I mean, I think of the watchman, for example, you know, of Ezekiel 33, and, you know, Ezekiel 33:7, "Now, as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel." That's the biblical Israel, not the British Israel of 1948. "So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning." And, you know, he explains in the verses prior to that, that the watchman is responsible. If the watchman doesn't warn the people, their blood is on his hands. If he warns them, then their blood is on their own hands. And I think many of the folks, you know, that that are on this network or that listen to this network sort of feel like that. I know I can certainly relate to that. As far as the iota is concerned, in the Greek, that's in the concordance, Strong's concordance, it's Strong's number G2503, and I am only aware of one occurrence of it, Matthew 5:18, which I think is the passage you're talking about. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one yacht," which is the iota that we pronounce yacht or jot, "one yacht or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And that's the law. There's context there, but to your broader point, I would say, you know, because Jesus said right before that, is interesting what he was saying. He said, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And that's when he said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And but, you know, to your broader point, I think if I understand what you're saying in that context, I would say I have always I think it's Isaiah 46:9-10, where God says, "I am the Lord and there is no other. I'm the Lord, there's none like me," declaring the end from the beginning. Some of us forget it's not that he sees or knows the end from the beginning, it's that he declares the end from the beginning. He's the only one. I think that's a thing that Satan tries to counterfeit. Personally, that's my opinion. That's one of the lying signs and false wonders that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 sort of speaks to, in my humble estimation. But he declares the end from the beginning. And so the picture that has always put in my mind is, it's like the kid in the projector room of the reel-to-reel films that can stretch the film out on the table and get his you know, jeweler's loop, basically, and look at each frame of film individually for as long as he wants, or look at all of them stretched out together. He sees it all, and he can focus on one or as many as he wants at one time. And 2 Peter chapter 3 sort of echoes that sentiment with, you know, "To the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day." Anyway, that's a little bit on that. I'll say a couple more words on that when we come back, and then we'll move on. Hopefully some of that made sense. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I can't love my baby, I can't live another day. Yeah, I've loved her such a long time, then it all this way. Sitting there so long, liquors get falling just
welcome
like
back.
Some crying. What do I have to feel this way?
Man, that guy was talented. Jeez. Have you seen that sound check on YouTube? Holy cow, I'd pay just to watch the sound check. Anyway, to finish that thought, 2 Timothy chapter 3 opens. I think, you know, that categorizes what you're saying, you know, but realize this, that in the end, the last days, difficult times will come. This is the NASB now. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, you know, lovers of self. I remember Time Magazine's cover. Remember 2006, the cover of Time Magazine was the mirror. Time Person of the Year, you. Anyway, so there's more, but 2 Timothy 3 is that sentiment. But then, just to kind of conclude, 2 Peter chapter 3, know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which kind of feels like, again, the open conspiracy, H.G. Wells' open conspiracy. You know, the bad guys are saying, oh, yeah, sure, you Christians say that, which reminds me of Pike's letter to Mazzini, Christianity and Atheism Simultaneously Destroyed, you know, the Third World War scenario, which is, it's counterfeit Christianity that Pike was talking about, and folks need to understand that. And the book, The Union Jack, published back in 1971, I think says a lot on that. The prologue kind of speaks to that. Anyway, but the point is – well, hold on. To conclude, that to sort of answer your question or address the point that you're making, and why are we wasting our time tipping at windmills basically, it comes down to 2 Peter 3:9, basically. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so, you know, Jesus said that to whom much is given, much will be required. And I feel like we, some of us have been given a significant amount of information, knowledge, and things like that. And like you said, we're not here just to boast of ourselves, basically, to entertain ourselves. And so what is the purpose of that? And I think it gets back to the watchman, Ezekiel 33. And if you feel that compulsion, then, you know, I mean, you think of the weeping prophets. There's a reason they call them weeping prophets, or, you know, Noah building a boat for 120 years when there had never been rain. So there are moments when it seems crazy and it seems futile, but you know what? You feel compelled nonetheless, and so you press on.
That's what I mean. There is a battle going on, and you know it, and you have to fight it. You just can't throw your hands up and say, okay, I'm going to sit down and pleasure myself, which, whatever direction you want to, you know that there's a battle, and you are a soldier, and you got to fight the battle.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, hey, when is your show?
Well, it depends on what time zone you're in. It's 10 to noon Central. Monday through Friday.
Into noon? Oh, okay, yeah. I've listened to your last hour. But you're a good person.
Well, I appreciate your listenership and your call, Larry. Thanks for your call.
You bet, bud. Bye.
Hopefully some of that made sense. Comments to Chris's remarks and questions. And there's definitely a battle going on. I think Ephesians 6 and other places make that clear. You know, just a few points and we'll go back to the phones. Ephesians 6 talks about, you know, of course, that's the sort of quintessential passage, 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You have 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's an interesting. It's all about warfare. There's one more, and then we'll go back to the phones. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Bottom of the second hour of today's National Intel Report this Friday, June 29th, 2018. And last passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Which reminds me of Uriah, the irony of Uriah the Hittite in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 8 and 9 in particular, when David says, go chill out, man. It's okay. Go rest up. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants because he said, I can't do that. My guys are fighting. And so how could I go relax and take it easy until everyone comes home? Anyway, hopefully some of that made sense and I, you know, whatever. Back to the phones. Mark in Georgia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey there. You doing okay?
Mark? Yep.
Can you not hear me?
Yep. Hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, good. I was concerned there. You know, I was talking with this guy. I don't know if you ever heard of, what's his name? I had his, great. I call him a mute donkey because he's one of those rabid, off the deep end, King James only people, and he's got his head full of canned answers about everything. that, you know, and then he starts using numerology. Well, number 23 corresponds to death, so Nestle Allard 23rd edition, you know, interlinear king, you know, of the original language. Well, that's death. It's dead. And I'm like, that doesn't sound very reasonable to me. But the thing is, like I told him, if the King James was good enough for the Apostle Paul, darn it, it's good enough for me. You know? And that's the thing is that it's the original language that's inspired. King James is just a translation. But the thing is, Matt, what's his name? Al Cuppett. That's it. He used to be on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And, oh, boy. It seems to me that the Senate, being controlled by the plutocracy, basically decides who becomes admirals and generals. Oh, settle down. My car's surging and stalling. Come on, up the hill. Anyway, the thing is, this thing with Tony Robinson, who's saying all these horrible things about Muslims, there's a guy I saw on YouTube, and I have to dig up his name. But he said that basically the British National Party was offered an outrageous amount of funds, but the caveat was you cannot criticize the bankers and you cannot criticize Israel.
Right. And that's a storyline that goes... That's a storyline that circles back around every once in a while. What was the one of the others? You know, someone gets aid or... whatever, it's always something along those lines.
Yeah, yep. And that's the thing is that basically the guy, I do know that, as I recall, it's the British National Party, and they said, no, we're going to criticize Israel where they're doing evil and this stuff. There's like seven times just in the book of Judges where it is written, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. You're not blessing anyone when Israel does evil in the sight of God, and they tell you their official narrative like that's all there is to it. And I'm like, no, that's not all there is to it. Your narrative is one side. Proverbs 18:17, you cannot rightly judge a situation by only hearing one side. So the thing is that they want us to hear their narrative as though that's the end-all, be-all, and you can't, you know, that's one thing I wish I remembered exactly what the source was. But basically, one guy said, our approach to the Middle East should be even-handed, and they accused him of being an anti-Semite. And I'm like, excuse me, that's your idea of being anti-Semitic is to, I'm on a radio call-in program, you're calling it anti-Semitic to be fair to everyone involved. And I'm like, excuse me, whether or not Jews are Semitic or not, I'm, you know, that's disputed. And I'll say, look, some of them are, but most of them aren't from what I've read. But the thing that you cannot really dispute is that Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, are Semitic. So why are you using this slander term as though we're such idiots that we don't know that this is a slander term? This is just a way of avoiding the fact that, you know, I'd like to see some I guess the question is how to go about the research to show that the term anti-Semitic, when I did some online research, it said that the term anti-Semitic was first used in 1880, which is about the same time frame as the beginning of the Zionist movement. Now, that does not prove that anti-Semitism is a term of Zionist origin. It just proves that it's possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there's all kinds of places you can go.
Yes.
For example, you know, there's Arthur Koestler's 13th Tribe, published back in 1976. I always talk about the late great Jack Otto's last talk, that Forbidden Knowledge talk. The late great Jack Otto. We'll include that in the archives because he did. You know, what was it? 1300 or so years of history in about 10 minutes. It's pretty impressive, but,
yeah. Well, one of the problems we face, and, you know, to me, the word discredited used by Zionists is itself discredited because they claim that the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, well, that's been discredited. all this Khazarian theory that's been discredited. And it's like, yeah, according to who? It's like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we have to acquit this defendant because he claims that the murder weapon that exactly matches the fatal wound that happens to have the defendant's fingerprints all over it, it's been discredited. And I'm like, yeah, wait a minute. According to who? So you understand where I'm coming from. They claim that things are discredited based on it does not, you know, it's like I was on Wikipedia and I tried to rebut some things that were being said to slander Ben Swan when he was raising issues about the correlation of autism with vaccines. And when I tried to say, well, actually, here's the evidence that, and they said, oh, well, that's pseudoscience and fringe science, and that's not allowed here. And I was like, you know, and I mean, I was trying to find, how do I get to a real live human being? How do I have a conversation with someone to say, excuse me, you're saying that it's junk science if it doesn't agree with you, like the androgenic global warming. I want to find a label for them that is not needlessly offensive, but I want them to understand. You're calling us climate change deniers or global warming deniers is a slander term. This is not acceptable. We are skeptics.
As far as global warming is concerned,
climate change
is concerned, the Club of Rome's book, The First Global Revolution, is the beginning and the end of that discussion by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider. But the one resource I would probably point you to that most people don't talk about as far as the I don't know if you're interested in the, you know, who's who in the zoo, basically, as far as that's concerned. Israel is not Israel. The British Israel contrivance, like Saudi Arabia of the 20th century, is a that's a whole different animal. And I don't want to get off on any one of these tangents.
The main thing is, in the
interest of time, because we have other callers. But the as far as that, you know, the discussion of who's who in the zoo and what is a Jew, I think Paul put it great in Romans 2 and Romans 9. That's the beginning and the end of that discussion in the New Testament. But you have, you know, Ashkenazi folks, Sephardic folks, and those terms of art. You know, the whole discussion has been filled with terms of art and intrigue and deception for hundreds of years. Again, Jack Otto in his talk.
When you say art, you mean guile, right?
Right. And
deceptive terms, loaded terms like conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
From people
now,
the one resource
that I will point you to that most people don't talk about is a thing called the Institute for Social Research, best known as the institutional home of the Frankfurt School. But the Institute for Social Research was a sort of what I would call maybe a forerunner of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, a companion of the Tavistock Institute, that kind of thing. And they are responsible for a lot of those terms that are knocking around these days. You know, things like what you're saying, you know, anti-Semitism and just a lot of those other terms of art. So look at the Institute for Social Research.
Anyway, I'll tell you what, I want to make this one closing point. I'm in the process of creating a 508 church organization, the Anabaptist Fellowship, and our basically the mission for me and whoever joins me on the founding board will be to address the counterfeit one world government that we're headed into and the basically debunking or exposing the methodologies, the deception, like claiming that it's anti-Semitic to point to the fact that Arabs are Semitic. It's anti-Semitic to say that Israel is, you know, violating the Geneva Convention with these butterflies. You know, that is not just one thing or the other, but saying here's where all this deception is going and the reason why it's working. When people know how deception works, it's a lot easier, a lot more difficult to deceive them. So my email address is markanabaptist@gmail.com. My forebears were people that were tortured and killed for saying the decision to become a follower of Christ is your own. And I'm just wondering who out there would care to join me. I am trying to get a CPA to outline what all I need to do to get this thing going, but I am not asking permission from the IRS to set up a nonprofit organization. That's the beauty of having a 508. You don't ask the IRS permission. You don't give them a... you don't pay them money to ask permission. You just send them a notice. And there's some other things that I'm in the process of discovering. And I've got an EIN. I just got to get some people on board with me. Believe we'll basically have, like, unless there's some kind of special need, we'll basically have a conference call every other week to address business. Fair enough?
All right. You said it, and the audience heard it. Thanks for your call, Mark. Appreciate it. You know, there were two other things I was going to mention. I don't remember what the second was. The first, though, when it comes to the term anti-Semitic, which is a term of art, the Naturi Karta, are they anti-Semitic? And that's, you know, a rhetorical question, but for folks interested, check it out. The Naturi Karta, are they anti-Semitic? No. What was the other thing? Can't remember. Back to the phones we go. Jim in upstate New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, sir. How you doing? I've always wanted to call your show. I listened to you during the day. It's interesting to hear you on John's show today. And my turn on to RBN was Alan Watt. And I know you mentioned him a lot. You know, he's a heavy dude. You know, very hard to decipher on the phone, you know. He seems like he's, you know, talking to a tin can with a wire on it, you know, but...
And he talks about same stuff every day, and it's always different, which is fascinating. Anyway.
Isn't it amazing? You know who has that also skill? Is Rivero. Rivero is very, very consistent in his rhetoric.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's a skill of, you know, oratory.
I feel...
And he brings humor to it as well.
I feel the same way, but in my case, I would call it being a stuck record. I don't know.
No, you know what it is? I've been listening to you a while. You're my same age. I was born in 64. And, you know, I'm an architecture major. I'm involved in the arts and music. And, you know, so I'm around, quote unquote, the other side or whatever. I always joke around and say, I'm a recovering liberal, you know. And it takes a lot to avoid yourself from that whole thing. Because, you know, I'm in upstate New York, but... I would travel to New York City and hang out in all the clubs down there and, you know, exposed to all this socialist, communist horseshit, you know. But long story short is that I really enjoy listening to you because you're my, you know, own age group. And are you a philosophy major by chance? I'm just very curious.
No, I'm largely self-educated, you know, went through the public school system and, you know, predominantly self-educated, propaganda notwithstanding.
No, it comes out very, very, you know, comes out very robust, you know, comes out with passion. And long story short, I'd love to leave you with a positive note tonight and say I really, really enjoy your shows. You know, sometimes you get a little esoteric, you know.
Yeah.
But anybody, you know, like I said, anybody you talk about, you know, that you cite or whatever, I've read these people too, you know what I mean? It's enjoyable to see. Oh, dear God, there's somebody else that read this too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
we're not crazy. You know,
No.
It's true. It really says what it means. The gaslighting of the nation is, you know, well, it's gaslighting, so...
Yeah, I'll just bring up one quick case. Is my sister never, ever, ever has been involved in politics. All of a sudden, Trump gets elected. She's a political master, you know, and I'm like looking at her like, my God, you know. And it's actually scary, the obsession that's going on. And actually very, very scary. And, you know, I have a lot of people that are on the far extreme left. You know, they're talking about, you know, really, really radical thoughts, you know, killings and, you know, slitting your throats and all this stuff. And I'm like, dear God, man, this is, you know, it frightens me. But once again, I just want to say you are a very, you know, for my day, I work at home, my own home business, and I listen to you and I'm like, wow, this cat's cool. And when you said Alan Watt, I'm like, this dude understands what's going down. So I'll leave you on that note, sir.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, so many voices are telling us that we need to settle down. Jordan Peterson saying that, you know, the very folks who shout Nazi the most are the ones who are the most ideologically similar. Chamath Palihapitiya telling us that the social media tools are tearing the fabric of society apart. Tucker Carlson having the segments where he's basically saying the same thing. There are a number of quarters from which we're hearing the same message, and I keep saying that we need more virtue, morality, and religion. We need to, you know, we need to have civil discourse. Anyway, back to the phones. John in Kentucky, right? No, Jeff in Georgia. Sorry. Jeff in Georgia. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Chris.
Hey, Jeff.
Good show. Chris, I believe, and I'm a little bit older than you, that Christianity is literally collapsing. And the best we can do, because Christianity has a lot of great tenets, you know, the great peacemaker and so forth. But the best we can do to save our heritage is to be activists to cancel the federal debt. If it's fraudulent, it can be canceled, Chris. And we need to do it with these other countries because they are growing in wealth. And I'm talking about the banking oligarchy. There's $100 billion in world debt by governments, and I would venture to say most of it is through fractional banking. And they are siphoning off a percentage of that, and they are buying up more magazines, more newspapers. They are propagandizing, you know, they're creating the racial and the ethnic strife that we see, that I see growing. I haven't seen this in years. And the best we can do is cancel that debt. And I think for the sake of Christianity, we should call for full employment. You see in Mexico, they're ready to elect a leftist. And he'll probably be fairly popular, Obrador. And he's probably for full employment, but he's going to have some populist messages. I looked him up. I see nothing about banking, so I think he's going to be a puppet to the bankers, and he's going to be more like a Chavez. But he'll have a populist message, and what it's going to do is in the Western Hemisphere, it's going to put us more on the defensive. Because our forms of government is in collapse, our heritage is in collapse for sure. Our Christianity is in retreat. The best we can do, Chris, is pull like a Rocky Marciano. We need to go after the knockout punch, go after their jugular vein, and we need to call. And I can't do it. If I had a radio station, you know. I could create, in my own mind, I would create the nonviolent revolution. You know, I'd be activists. I'd be out there marching like King or Kennedy or anybody. But I would call for the cancellation of the debt, make the case to the public that fractional banking was fraudulent. It is so fraudulent, the more you study it, the more you shake your head. But you also have to call for full employment, which means the end of welfare as we know it. And Chris, we need to unite on this because, you know, 4% of the media, that's the free world now. Somebody just called in and knocked Tommy Robinson. How can you knock Tommy Robinson when has a free voice? A free voice is a human right. You don't have to like Christianity. You don't have to like Islam. You don't have to like the Jewish cartel. You know, you should be courteous, yes, but we as a free people have a right to dissent against anything that comes out of our heart, Chris. And when you call, if you got on the RBN and you started calling every show for the cancellation of the federal debt and tried to garner support internationally with other blue-collar people, you would create a revolution. Because the world is in chaos, and as long as this banking cartel runs it, it's going to get worse. I mean, they're warmongers. We're not. They practice deceit. We don't. They try to stifle free speech. I promote free speech. You know, I like Christianity, but if somebody wants to knock it, fine. You know, just don't knock me when I knock them. I mean, let's be civilized about this. The third thing you could do, and I've called in before about this, is dramatically cut the federal military budget, because it's not supporting anything. It's almost as great of a hoax as the fraudulent Federal Reserve. I mean, we're basically fighting a banker's fighting for bankers' interests, and our country's collapsing at the borders. I mean, hey, I'm all for anybody that's starving. I'm trying to help them, but an example: China, India. The Indians can't live in China. The Chinese can't live in India. They have a lot larger border than Mexico and the United States. You know, they have the right of sovereignty. America has the right of sovereignty. But you cut that military budget, you call for full employment and welfare, and you cancel that debt. Just start printing them U.S. notes and control the quantity of money. That's about $2 trillion. We could turn this country around, and you would put the bankers on the defensive.
Well,
you know, it may not turn out like
you make interesting points, for sure. And, yeah, you said a mouthful. We need to run back to the phones real quick in the remaining moments. And
right.
That was kind of a monologue. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Interesting sentiments. And the one comment I would make, there are some interesting videos about Tommy Robinson you can find on YouTube. All of that, you know, bad guy flashing of symbols and things is kind of interesting. Anyway, a man of the people, he is. Back to the phones in the remaining moments here. John in Kentucky. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello. I just wanted to make mention of some of the things in the King James that people may or may not be aware of, but in Revelation verse 4, or chapter 4, the last verse, I think it's 11, it says that God created everything for his pleasure, including the heavens and the earth and all of us, all of our souls, for his pleasure. You have to wonder, are we giving him pleasure? Also, if you look at the second verse of Genesis, where it says that the earth was without form and void, you have to compare that to Isaiah 45, verse 18, where it says that the earth was made for to be inhabited. So where is there this discrepancy? Well, it's because if you don't have the Masora, and the which is the original footnotes that locks in the meanings in the King James, then what happens is you overlook the fact that that word should have been decaying void. But the real thing I needed to talk about is like the watchman on the wall. We've only got a few moments, so I'll say it quickly.
Yep.
There are seven trumpets, seven seals, seven vials. What happens in the 666? That's when Satan shows up on earth pretending to be Jesus. Jesus doesn't return until the seventh trumpet, seventh seal, seventh vial.
Interesting stuff, folks. That'll do it for today's National Intel Report. I hope you have a great weekend.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.